Let's begin together. We'll say the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll say the Creed. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, who can do the Creed? Who can crank it out? Think you got it? Go for it. Let's hear it. No, let's see how well you do. Come on.
Please, no.
For I believe in
God the Father,
Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. On the third day, rose.
He descended to the dead.
He descended on the day.
On the third day, he rose again.
Ascended to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the life everlasting.
The resurrection of the body.
And the life everlasting.
All right, nice job. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. Wants to give it a go. Wants to give it a go. Or at least get a part of it. Reggie, can you get it started? I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Good. And in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, buried. Yeah. First we got to be buried, then we descend to the dead. On the third day, rose again, ascended and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's what you just did. And then starting today, I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, body, life everlasting. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And so we're moving out of the first article and the second article. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. And today we're going to start the third article. I believe in the Holy Spirit and all the pieces that come along with that. Before we jump into, and I missed you guys, okay? You guys are definitely my favorite class. Okay? You're definitely... I did not. I didn't say it next time. I said it last time.
Oh,
yeah. But
hey, OGs. We're the OGs here.
There you go. You guys are the OGs. That's right. You guys are the original. Okay. Any questions from last week? We're talking about judgment. You know, what does it mean that he'll come again? Well, what should? How should we understand final judgment? Yes, Porter. What was last week's question? Sorry.
Is this last week's question?
What am I asking you right now? I'm asking you about, are there any questions about last week? Is this yours? Okay, sorry, my bad. Yeah, do you have questions about last week, Porter?
Yes.
No. Not yet. You have a window. You haven't reached that window yet. Okay? Questions. He's going to come again. How do I understand that he's going to come again? What does that mean? He promised to return. That's a great source of hope. Present order is going to pass away, and he will restore all creation. All creation. Right? How should we understand final judgment? All will be judged. Those in Christ will receive eternal blessing. The others to what? Eternal rejection. Yeah. That's a hard truth to maneuver. And Jackson asked the next thing, I thought we weren't supposed to judge each other. So why is Jesus going to judge? Yes, Porter. He alone has the capacity to judge hearts. I can't judge your heart, can I? I can't judge your heart. I can't see the beginning and the end. I don't know who really is a follower and who isn't, right? I can't maneuver those things. Jesus can, and to him has been given all judgment. It's his kingdom. He's able to see. And those who don't want to be a part of the kingdom, he says, okay. Okay. I respect that. Today, let's move into that third article. If you could, find in your notebook where you have the whole creed. Okay, the whole creed. Did you make it the whole way? Well done. All right. You have a question, Sonia?
No, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do
about. I'm worth looking at. Right. I'm feeling good. All right, so you have the whole creed in front of you, okay? That little gray box. We did the first article, we did the second article. I want you to look at the third article. That's the third bump out that starts, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read it together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, general observations. What do you guys notice as you just look at that part? What stands out to you? What do you see? What do you think? How are they connected, maybe? What are your thoughts? What do you notice?
The Catholic Church.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, what?
Maybe that's something we should talk about. What does that mean that we believe in the Catholic Church? Yeah, that's like, yeah, we'll get there. Believe me, we're gonna answer that question. Yeah, Jack.
I was
gonna
answer that question.
Oh, you're gonna answer that question? I want you to hold on to it. Okay, I want you to hold on to it. That's okay.
Why is it dash between the Holy Catholic Church and the Communion of Saints? Why is it?
That's a connected idea. Okay, to talk about Catholic Church and the Communion of Saints. Those are a connected idea. That's good. That's good. What do you mean? I like that. The Spirit and the Body. Yeah, and everything that happens within this component. In the same way when we looked at the article about Jesus, all those things were connected with his life. All those things flowed out of who Jesus was. You know, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius. Those are all Jesus things. There's a good chance that if we're talking about the Holy Spirit, everything that we're going to talk about underneath the Holy Spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit somehow. Yeah, you're going to see those inner workings. What else do you notice? Just general observations. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What stands out to you?
Resurrection.
That's a big deal. Changes a lot to believe in, to hold on to that reality. The resurrection specifically of the body. Your body matters. What you do with your body matters. That's not something just to throw out. God cares for the body very much. In fact, he's going to restore the body in all completion. Good. Carmen, what do you notice? What do you see?
Amen.
What's that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does amen mean?
So it be.
So it be. So be it. Let it be. Yep. We are in agreement. We're together. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack these. And so while that class is going through their gospel, which you're doing, right? They're learning about what is the gospel today. They're going to go through those things. And now 4 weeks, and we'll all come together and we'll dive into the Ten Commandments. But let's ask ourselves some questions. All right. We ready? Who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? Cover it up. Don't look. I want to hear your thoughts. Who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? Porter.
He's a ruler.
He's a ruler? Yeah. Okay. Sonia, tell me something about the Holy Spirit, or tell me something that he does.
He's part of the Trinity.
Okay. He helps you pray? Yeah, I mean, we taught that in church, yeah, a few weeks ago. Yeah. Reggie, tell me something. Right or wrong, just what do you think? Tell me something about the Holy Spirit. Who is he, or what does he do? He is with us. Good. Mr. Henderson, what you got? Holy Spirit.
The middle to get God.
The middle? Mediator? Okay. The bridge? Okay. I like it. Tiffany, tell me something about the Holy Spirit. Or tell me something that he does. Ryan, you're next.
does pray for us.
Yes. Yeah, we learned that from Romans chapter 8. When we don't know how to pray, we don't have words, groanings that can't even be uttered. Yeah. So we still know the Holy Spirit.
It's part of it. Without the rest, who are you talking to?
There's a guide, right? A guide? Yeah. Tell me something about the Holy Spirit. What's that? A lot's already been said. So she agrees with everybody else's answers, right? Yeah, I agree with what everybody else has said. Okay. Who is the Holy Spirit, and what does he do? In your book, read with me. God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity who comes alongside of us to convict, to guide, to comfort, to intercede. Okay? So let's write that down. Let's write that down, and then we'll unpack it together. God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who comes alongside of us to convict, to guide, to comfort, to intercede. Writing things those down. Porter, you getting it written down? All right, buddy. You're awesome.
Why is it a person? Because isn't it a spirit, a spiritual being? So why is it the same person?
That's an excellent question. Hold on to that, because I want you to ask that question. Yeah. Third person of the Trinity. Convicts, guides, comforts, intercedes. You getting it?
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm just coming alongside of you to convict and guide and comfort. I'm not real good at the comfort part. I'll intercede. I like to intercede. I like to get in the way. 100%. Let's open this up. Let's open this up. Okay, third person. God is Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We talk about Father. Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Yep, that capacity. Source of all things, providing, protecting. We talked about the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Jackson asked a question. Go ahead, ask it out loud, buddy.
Why does it say person? Is it a spiritual being? How can I be a person?
So you are maybe associating personhood with humanity, right? To be a person is to be a human. Okay, well, that's not necessary. To be a person is to be individuals, to have mind, to have thought, to have intellect, to have personality. Okay? That you make choices, you have feelings, you engage. So when we look at the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, those are three persons, one being. Right? Three persons, one being. Here we are a bunch of persons, a bunch of beings. God is Spirit. But there's definitely personhood. And you'll see that as you go through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit engages in things. You can make the Holy Spirit sad. Right? So it's not to be a spirit doesn't mean that you can't, because the Father is a person, the Son is a person, the Spirit is a person. But we've attached some more tangibles, like Father, oh, because I'm a father, right? So person, oh, Son, oh, Spirit, like Casper, the ghost, is that what it's like? But yeah, very much has personhood. The third person of the Trinity, okay, and what does he do? Comes alongside. We're going to spend some time unpacking that. To do four things. Okay, everyone close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. Okay, Reggie, what is one of the four things?
Guide,
good. Sonia, what's one of the four things? Don't say guide. Good. Who can give me another one?
Convert.
Convict, actually.
Comfort.
Comfort. Oh, okay. comfort and can, yeah, intercede. Okay, ready? So look, what, ready? Look at me, look at me. Okay? Convict. Do it. Convict. Convict. Meaning, you did this. Convict. Guide. Let's go this way. Guide. Okay? You did that. We need to go this way. Okay? Stop going that way. Go this way. Guide. Comfort. Comfort. Okay? Intercede. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Okay? You didn't do my things.
Sorry.
Okay. Convict. Guide. Comfort. See, I'm trying to help you out because the other team down the hallway is gunning for you. Okay? Okay, just letting you know. They're gunning for you. They get t-shirts, they have a team name, and they're coming to keep score. It's your mom's fault. Yes, Porter. Really bad? Because when I have to use the restroom really bad, I don't smile. I need you to wait 15 minutes, okay? Okay?
Can you wait that long?
Well, when the smile stops, okay? Mom, you give him the go-ahead when you think that he's allowed to go, okay?
Okay.
All right? We're going to work on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to work on something. Okay, third person of the Trinity comes alongside. And what are the four things he does when he comes alongside? He convicts, he guides, he comforts, he intercedes. Who is he? The person who comes alongside. God, fully Father, fully Son, okay? The person, meaning is someone that you can walk with. Someone who has feelings. You can sadden him, you can grieve him. To come alongside, the word in the Greek is paraclete. How many of you have had some experience with a paramedic? Sure, yeah, yeah. When I had to have some surgery over the summer, paramedics came into my hospital room and they carted me off. Why are they called paramedics? Can you break down the term? Can you break down the etymology? It's a compound word, para and medic. All right, let's do the easy part. What do we think the medic part means? Medical. They're going to do a medical thing. They're going to do a medical thing. Para, any guesses? Paramilitary, parachurch. To come alongside. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. To come alongside. Para means to come alongside of, next to. The medic who comes alongside of you, okay, to help you get to where you need to be. The paraclete is the one who comes alongside of you. And so what we're going to see in this part, all the things and all the ways that he comes alongside of. So there's proximity involved. If you think to the very beginning of the scriptures, okay, where do we see the Holy Spirit? Can you remember? Go back to the Genesis story. Genesis 1. Do you remember where you see the Holy Spirit and what he's doing? Yeah, well done. Exactly. He's hovering over creation. He's drawing near, getting ready to do what? Yeah, to breathe life into. He's the one who hovers. He's the one who gets near, gets close to things. Here's your key verse, okay? You read it with me. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. John 14:26. Let's read it one more time, okay? Let's read it one more time. Ready? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Okay, helper, that word helper, paraclete, the one who comes next to you, the one who comes alongside of you. Notice here, what do we see here just in this phrase? We've got Holy Spirit, we've got Father, and in my name, who's talking? Who's the answer in church? The answer is always, come on, y'all, you know that, right? Spirit, Father, Son, whole process is engaged in my help. All aspects of the Trinity are engaged in helping me. that the Father is sending in my name the Holy Spirit. He's going to do two specific things. We see this fleshed out here just in this verse. Okay? What's one of the things he's going to do? He's going to teach me all things. Well, that's pretty cool. All things. He's going to teach me. And help me what? Remember everything that Jesus said to me. Let's break down these four words, these four facets. How does he help? What's he going to do? First word was what?
Convict.
Okay? What comes to mind when you hear the word convict? Carmen.
Like,
oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, like I'm being corrected. I'm being called out. I'm being like, hey, to convict me specifically of sin, corruption, and treason in my heart. The Holy Spirit's the one who comes along and say, dude, that's wrong. Have some of you ever experienced in your Christian life or your Christian walk with God that things that didn't bother you in the past started to bother you a little bit more in your faith? So you're like, oh, yeah. Like, is there something that comes to your mind specifically? Yeah, is there a sin that you struggled with that you did used to?
No, I think that, you know, like, I don't even know what it's called. Ignorant talk.
Ignorant talk.
Just goofy, being silly.
Okay.
Not
necessarily the best kind of talking.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you started to feel convicted.
I feel terrible when I say new things that I should.
Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's convicting me of bringing into my attention areas of my heart that are corrupted and treasonous. And it's not all things at all times, because sometimes we wish the Holy Spirit would do it. Boy, I really wish the Holy Spirit would convict you of this. Or really wish the Holy Spirit. No. But he's the one who comes alongside to convict. It says this in John chapter 16, verse 8. Okay? John 16, verse 8. I'll read it to you. When he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So let me ask you a question. Is convicting a good thing?
Yeah, I think so.
How so? Why so?
Because it shows you where you're doing wrong, so you can repent.
Yeah. If we're talking about corruption and treason, right, are those good things? I mean, if he's going to show me things in my heart that are poisonous, that's helpful, right? Mm-hmm. Now, is it going to feel good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Like the master surgeon who comes alongside and says, this is rotten and we need to cut this out. It's kind of doing a thing over here. The computer's doing a thing over here. Sonia, what are you doing back there? Uh-huh. Brian's smiling. I don't know what's going on. That's what my grandfather would always say. You see that elephant that ran under that chair? I think they're doing some work next door. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing that grandfathers said. My grandfather would say it all the time, and apparently that's something that all grandfathers say. Come here and pull my finger. Why do grandfathers do that? Porter? I don't know. I'm on a rabbit trail. So convict. So is that a good thing? If the surgeon says, I need to cut this out, I need to make you aware of, that's a good thing. It's a gift of God's grace. And you will find as you walk along with the Holy Spirit, he will start to bring things to your attention. Maybe things that are new to you, like, oh, wow, I used to, but now that really bothers me. Oh, I feel really bad about that. Yeah, that's one of the things that as he comes alongside of to love us into the image of Jesus Christ, he convicts. All right, what's the next thing? It's this and it's. See, you guys memorizing already. Look at you guys. You guys getting it done. It's a whole new group, man. We're getting new t-shirts. Guide to teach you all things. Okay? Think of a disciple. Think of being trained in. It says this in John 16, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The motivating power and person behind our actions. Okay? Jackson, I know your mother and I frustrate you sometimes when you're playing soccer. Yeah, because what are we always trying to do sometimes? Frustrate you. What are we trying to do? Motivate you, keep you moving, right? Because sometimes if we're walking, maybe we could be running. Maybe we could, it's mom's call, Porter. If mom says you can go, then you can go, okay? Okay. We're not running and smiling as much as we were. So we're making progress. That's good. That's good. So the motivator behind the Christian life, the one who maybe was communicating with you this afternoon, I don't want to go to Foundations. I didn't memorize my work. I didn't go. But that inner something that came along and said, yeah, but you know that's what you need to be doing. I don't want to read scripture this morning. Yeah, but you know that's what you need to be doing. Yeah, Jackson.
To be so honest, it happened to me today. I was like, I really don't feel like you can start memorizing my stuff today. I don't want to go to Foundations.
Yeah, yeah. Did the voice of the Holy Spirit sound like my voice?
Sound like Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. The Holy Spirit sounds like Optimus Prime. In the beginning. Yeah. Think about the Lord's Prayer. What are the six components of the Lord's Prayer? Dude, we're going way back now. Oh, we're going. Guidance. Guidance, yeah. So, character. Kingdom, provision,
protection,
forgiveness,
protection,
guidance,
protection.
Lots of protection. We need lots of all the way around the circle. Lots of protection ever. Okay, character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance. Protection, yeah. Lead us not into temptation. The answer to that prayer is the Holy Spirit. As I maneuver the challenges and the difficulties of my life, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit who helps me to the left, to the right, push forward, step back. He guides me into all truth. Dude, the world's hot on selling you lies. Hot on selling you lots of lies. Strongholds of lies that want to captivate your mind and captivate your heart and captivate everything about you. But like a good medic comes alongside of you in the moment of weakness, hardship, trial. Hey, come on. Let's keep going. Let's do this together. He guides me. Okay, you're going that way. You really want to be going this way. Not that way. You really need to be going this way. Yeah. Go ahead, someone. Yeah.
Like when I was younger, one of the things I remember being taught was like the Holy Spirit is your conscience. It's like that little gimmicky cricket that's on your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've always thought about that. Like you have to listen to this feeling.
Fun fact about Jiminy Cricket, okay? This is not, this is bonus. This is why I'm your favorite teacher, okay? Okay, right? I'm your favorite one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. if anyone ever actually read the original Pinocchio, the story of Pinocchio? Dude, it's messed up. So when Pinocchio comes to life, right? And Jiminy Cricket comes alongside of him as a guide, as a conscience. Pinocchio throws a hammer and kills it. He kills the cricket in the very beginning of the book. It's like, I don't want to listen to you. Literally throws a hammer at the cricket and kills him. Yeah, it's a messed up story. But in that is a part of the teaching of we don't like the voice of someone guiding and telling me, and we will be very resistant to. Our conscience is a unique aspect of our personhood, separate from the Holy Spirit, okay? And it can be, sometimes they can sound like the same thing, but our conscience is just that inner voice saying what we believe to be right or wrong in that given moment. Our conscience will change. Our conscience will grow. Our challenge is, how do I align my conscience with what the Holy Spirit says? Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, the Great Divorce.
The Great Divorce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was talking about that over the weekend.
Oh, that's a good book. That's a good, yeah, that embodiment of this sin that has anchored and is whispering in that man's voice. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. And the angelic being that comes alongside says, can I kill that for you, please?
Yeah.
All that is the presence of death. Can I kill that? Yeah, and how resistant that being was to having that sin destroyed, I think really speaks to our own hearts. We are that corrupted. We're that treasonous that God so wants to restore and heal. We're like, you know, I really think I can do this on my own. The Holy Spirit's the one who comes along to guide us into all things. And very patient, very kind. Yeah. Questions so far? Am I making sense? Good? Good? Any question? Back of the house? Ryan, we good? Front of the house, Ryan, good? All right. Yeah. Reg, good? All right. So he convicts, he guides. What's the next one? Comforts. This is when I have grown the most in walking and appreciating with the Holy Spirit, his comfort. It says this in John 14:16, right? I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So John 14, this is, Jesus is just getting ready to leave. His crucifixion is about to happen. He's going to die. And he actually says, it's to your advantage that I leave. Okay? Now, maybe some of you might not feel this way, but maybe some of you might. Imagine if I came up to you and says, hey, this is actually the last time that I'll be teaching you ever, and you'll never see me again. I have to leave. It's okay. It's to your advantage that I go. I'm sending you someone else. Some of you maybe be like, oh, that's cool. All right. But some of you might be like, someone else? It's better that you leave? Like, we have, like, you know me and I know you and we've walked together for a long time. And what do you mean it's to my advantage? Jesus as a person, right? The personhood of Jesus was only ever going to be next to, right? Because he has a body. Holy Spirit, what's unique? Why is the Holy Spirit's presence a greater advantage? What's that? Yes, exactly. Now we've moved from God next to me to God dwelling inside of me. We're going to talk about that in a little bit in our next question. Yeah. Always there to comfort. Always there to be present. Okay? Never leaves. Always present. And then what's this, the fourth part? Comfort and intercede. All right, what does intercede mean? Dude, I just spent 9 weeks talking about interceding. What's that? Good, yeah. So we're going to meet, we're going to plead, we're going to reach, we're going to breach. Yeah, yeah, that's this passage in Romans where we have an interceder, someone who goes between, goes before the Father on our behalf, praying for us, when I am weak. This is the passage that I preached on. Just to remind you, this is Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. How many of you have ever been there? I know I should be praying. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be praying right now. Yeah. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're weak. The Spirit guides us in prayer, praying for us, praying with us, sometimes praying through us. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit's a big deal. His presence is a big deal. Convicting, good thing. Guiding, very good thing. Comforting, good thing. Interceding, good thing. Any questions so far? Carmen? Oh, oh, you got a question? Yep.
So, like, during, like, angry stages of my life, like, I didn't know what to pray,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to pray.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, like, there was one time my sister was like, Tiffany, we have to pray. And I was like, for what? There's
oh, yeah.
something I want to pray for.
Right, yeah, sure.
So, in those moments, like, how do I guess I just have to be strong enough to just say, Holy Spirit, please pray for me.
Did you ever help Reggie or Porter when they didn't want to be held?
Yeah.
Did you ever nurture and care for them when they didn't know what to ask for or speak it out loud?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you're a loving mom. Yeah, you're a loving mom. Holy Spirit wrapping his big loving arms around us, pleading for us when we're off grieving and weeping and doing those things. Yeah, 100%. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Even when I don't have words or want to talk, I don't even want to talk to you. All right, I got you covered, buddy. I got you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. Reg, questions? Got it all cleared up?
Yep.
Like a termite in a yo-yo? All right. Good job on the brake job. I heard you did a good job. Good job. Reggie and Jackson did a Hope Project this last weekend. Yes, Porter, question. It's one of those stupid things that Pastor Paul says every now and then.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. About as confused as a termite in yo-yo, put your feet down. All right, we ready to keep going? All right, your second question. Let's see what your thoughts are. Ready? When do we receive the Holy Spirit? When do we receive the Holy Spirit? So here's this amazing person who convicts and guides and comforts and intercedes. When does this person enter my life? Okay, Jackson, what do you think?
Now.
Now, like this moment in time.
Yes.
Okay, the Holy Spirit's never walked with you up until this moment in time.
Like now and like always.
Which one is it, now or always?
Can't do both.
Well, either it's now or it's always.
Well, is it now part of always?
It could be. Could be. Also, now could not be always.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying it's
okay, all right, what do you think? When do you get the Holy Spirit? When does the Holy Spirit enter into your life? That's what he said.
That copycat.
Tiffany, when's the Holy Spirit? When is the Holy Spirit? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? Always?
I feel like I receive the Holy Spirit the moment I ask Jesus to be my Savior.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Not always. That's what you meant to say? You just, yeah.
It came out wrong.
He couldn't find the words.
Sonia, what do you think? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? Okay. All right. When you accept Christ. All right. Let's write this down. Let's read it together. We'll write it down. Ready? Scripture teaches that we receive the Holy Spirit fully and internally when we repent and follow Jesus. Let's write that down. Let's write that down in your box, in your memory box. Scripture teaches that we receive the Holy Spirit fully, internally, when we repent and follow Jesus. Porter's getting it done, man. Get that written out fast. You got fast hands. Good job, buddy. Can you read it?
Yeah.
That looks good.
I messed up right here.
Well, that's okay. Scripture's a tough one. Good job. We got that? Good? We receive the Holy Spirit fully and internally. When? When we repent and follow Jesus. Okay. What does that mean? We're talking about the internal dwelling, the person of the Holy Spirit. Before, when you were walking outside of Christ, when you were living in your own sin, your own trees, and when you're living contrary to. And can you guys save yourselves? Can you save yourself? No, you cannot. You cannot. The Holy Spirit is acting. The Holy Spirit is working to influence, to offer comfort, to offer guidance, to bring conviction. He comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come, John chapter 16. He does those things. But it is an external work. the moment I repent and turn to Christ, what then happens is the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of me in a very real, very spiritual sense. Before Christ, before repentance, before giving myself, before receiving His grace, the Holy Spirit works on the outside. Yes, He will convict. Yes, He'll work to guide. Maybe do it through the voices of other people. But the moment I give myself to, now it is an indwelling. So let's think about your life as a house. Your life as a house. Before Christ, okay, it's not a nice house. Okay, it's a sad house. It's an empty house. It's a grieving house. It's a broken house. It's a dark house. When I give myself to Christ, new ownership, new deed, okay? It's the Holy Spirit that now comes in and makes residence in my very being.
Like the Renovation Brothers, those two twins?
Yeah, like the Renovation Brothers. Yeah, yeah. But not just renovating, He owns it. He dwells, it's His. It's His. And what does He start to do? He starts to work, what's that? He starts cleaning house. Yeah. Hey, can we talk about the plumbing in the kitchen? What is going on in this bedroom? Oh my goodness. Have you opened these closets in a while? And He starts throwing open windows and He starts throwing open doors and He starts bringing life in and oxygen in and light in. And you're like, what's going on? You're feeling things you never felt before. You're seeing things you've never seen before. You're crying over things you never cried before. It's almost like there's new people in the house. Not in a possessed, demonic sense, right? I can still very much say no to what the Holy Spirit might want to be doing. But He is there as a guiding, convicting, indwelling, interceding, comforting person in my life, fully present, fully internally. We talk about this within the Foundations class because there are theological disciplines and churches that talk about receiving more of the Holy Spirit as you move along in your life. Okay? Like you get a down payment, and then a little bit later, depending on your prayer and your obedience, that's the only way I can think about it, Ryan, is like a down payment. You get a little bit. And then if you're okay and you do well, then you get a little bit more and you get a little bit more and you get a little bit more, okay? It's actually the opposite, okay? The question isn't how much of the Holy Spirit do you have? The question is how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? That's the question. Does He have access to the kitchen? Does He have access to the basement? Does He have access to the things that you don't tell people about? The things that you don't want brought up. But what is He going to do? Whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is kind. That's why this verse works the way that it does. This is the verse we'd like you to meditate on and memorize. Will you read it with me, please? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Like, let me give you some understanding, okay? What's going on? So it's equating your body to a temple, the temple. And what made the temple the temple, the tabernacle the tabernacle? God's presence. Oh, I'm sorry, part of you know the answer. Go for it, dude.
I don't know.
Okay? Do it. Yeah, man, that's really good. Yeah. And now, as Jesus' body, who is Jesus' body? We are. But instead of there being a building that is the dwelling place of God's presence, now you are. Now you are. You inhabited and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You give the deed over to someone else. Okay? So, you know, here's Tiffany, who's a realtor. There's this moment where the previous owner turns the papers over, and the new owner comes along and signs on the dotted line. It's now their house, right?
Actually, they don't sign. The seller signs, and they get the deed. And they don't sign again until they sell.
There you go. But once you have that, you have the deed. You can do what you want with the house, right?
Yeah.
It's your house. I got the deed. When I start thinking about allegiance to Jesus as if I'm giving him the deed to my house, my life. And so if the Holy Spirit comes along and says, hey, we want what's best. We want what's right, what's good for you. We need to tear down some of these fences. We need to deal with some of the garbage that you have in the basement. Yeah. Because I'm not my own. It's not my body. It's not my mind. It's not my heart. It's not those things. They're his. I've signed them over. Yeah, Jackson.
That kind of sounds weird, but like we're signing our individuality over. Like,
oh, you still get to be you.
But you just said we're not our own.
You're not. But you're still you.
Like, on the other page, they're like the persons, like, not human, but individual.
Personhood.
Yeah,
you're very much. Jackson, he has given you personhood. He has given you talents and gifts and desires. And he's not violating those things. He wants the privilege of coming alongside of you to comfort and to guide, to intercede as you become a part of a restoring people that puts the pieces of brokenness back together again. Yeah, all of a sudden it'll become some catatonic where the Holy Spirit has now possessed me and I can't make choices or do these things. No. It's a beautiful wedding of his presence in me. Now, what? I thought those... you guys are going to remember that. You're going to go, did you see, remember when you did the... Oh, Ryan's like, what do you think Pastor Paul had a stroke and go over a catechism class and fall right down there on the ground? But think with me, though. Hold on, Porter. Think with me. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The invitation of the Spirit to do life with you. And what you will find as you walk with the Spirit more and more, you will recognize his voice more and more. You will discern his intentions more and more. Hey.
Doing like you just said, for you, but with you.
Yeah.
In you.
Like alongside of. He is an alongside of with you person.
So when you receive the Holy Spirit, though, you said it internally.
Mm-hmm. Completely internally. Yep. Yeah. Dwells inside of you. Makes residence in you. That's why Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go. Now, before you had God next to you, now you get to have God within you. So, yeah, Sonia.
So then before you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is not working in your behalf to bridge that gap between you and heaven?
Well, you're not a child of God. You're not a child of God. No. Now, he is still exerting influence. He's still drawing and working to convict. But yeah. The force is an external force. When I give myself over residency, he comes and then moves in. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want that. Paying. And a lot of back taxes and a lot of overrun. Yeah, we can take this metaphor a long ways, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Because think about it. You go from working with one slumlord to being all of a sudden now in the presence of a majestic palace-owning king. Oh, those of us who know the difference between with Jesus and without Jesus, yep, yeah, that's it completely. Yeah, you are not your own. You're not your own. But yeah, go ahead.
So there's one time you said something about when you feel the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what you said about when you feel it, like when you feel things here.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got saved, the moment that I felt it.
Yeah.
And I was like overcome with the most love and joy I've ever felt in my life. And I wanted to go out and actually hug my scissors instead of punch them. So, but that feeling came back and I wanted to punch them again.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the sin's always there, and that's why...
The Apostle Paul talks about why is it the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. We are growing in the image of Christ. And like I said, it's not that I need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to have more of me. Yeah, so yeah, I'm really mad at her, and I really want to rip her face off and punch her in the throat. And the Holy Spirit's like, all right, there's some, yeah, or your brothers, yeah. There you go. You're keeping coals. Heaping coals on top. There is a growing in the Spirit. There is a growing in that walk. Yeah, 100% and completely. Yeah. Great thoughts. Great question.
No.
First picture of the Spirit in the Bible, hovering over the void, ready to breathe life. That's, and so, you know, I wake up in the morning and I, Spirit, guide me today. I need your guidance. Being in the Bible is so important as I learn to recognize His voice and recognize His will and His intentions. And being sensitive to that, why are there things that push me away from Scripture, push me away from fellowship, push me away from places where the Holy Spirit wants to be present and do things? Why is that?
Evil.
Yeah. Corruption. Treason. Still present. Yeah. Great job. Any other thoughts, guys? We're at our time. What you got, Porter?
Is that why the daily sacrifice is like an Old Testament? Didn't we just talk about this? That all the different types of sacrifices that they did.
Okay.
Didn't they do that daily?
Mm-hmm. There were some.
The sin that was always there.
There were daily sacrifices that were made just out of reverence and honor, burning sacrifices to who God was. And once a year, they would do a full cleansing of the temple, the Day of Atonement, because of the accumulation of sin. If you want to think of it from like, you know, a disease perspective, the one way, a metaphor to understand it. But it was to help Israel realize that there's always this brokenness that exists in our relationship with God. And man, these blood sacrifices, bulls, rams, just don't seem to get the job done. We need something better. We need something that will clean and cleanse this once and for all. That's why, you know, Jesus Christ comes and He does what those sacrifices could not. Yeah. Good? Okay, so that's an odd place for lipstick. Your mom was wearing... You might want to have a conversation with mom. Say, mom, is there something you want to tell me? Because I've got lipstick on my shoe.
You think your sister might have gotten a hold of lipstick?
Maybe Ren got a hold of, and who knows what else she's painted. Truth. Why don't we stand? I want to pray over you guys. Next week, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. What does that mean? We just need to start praying to the Pope. So what does it mean, Catholic? What does it mean, Catholic? Mr. Adam will be with you, walk you guys through that. Make sure you're doing your memory work. You're working on Hope Project, locking something in. If you haven't yet, you have these conversations with Mr. Adam. There's some options that are on the table. Reminder, men's breakfast next Sunday morning, 7:30 back in the lab. Bring something to eat. We're going to talk about gospel. Ladies, we love you, but our guys need some work. So just be patient with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, that you would give the Spirit to be in our presence, to be in our midst, to guide us, to convict, to intercede, to comfort. May we learn to step every day more and more with that Spirit, walking with the Spirit, being renewed by the Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for these. I ask your blessing upon my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, guys. Don't forget your honey stick.